First Peter chapter 2. I want to speak to you this morning about worshiping God. The Bible tells us that there's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I don't believe any of the tenets of the Muslim faith, but I'm jealous of one thing that they do. It's in their constitution that five times a day they fall down on their faces. You've seen pictures of them, how they go down and pray. Five times a day they do that. They bow down and they pray. Now, I don't believe in the God that they pray to. Don't misunderstand me. But I can't help but admire their sincerity and their faith in their God. Sometimes I get a little jealous of it, because how long has it been since a congregation like ours here this morning have fallen down on our faces before God and worshiped? I'm afraid that the majority of our people have forgotten how to worship. If I were to ask you this morning, how should a person worship God? I would probably get as many different answers as I ask different people. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, if you're looking for a sermon, it's there. We are a holy priesthood, number one. We offer up spiritual sacrifices, number two. The sacrifices that we offer are acceptable to God. And the one through whom we offer these sacrifices is Jesus Christ. Can you see that? But let's start off with the easy one here. This verse tells us that we, believers in Christ, tells us what we are. We're priests. And he tells us what we do as priests. We offer up sacrifices. In the Old Testament, God chose from among the 12 tribes the tribe of Levi. And from the tribe of Levi, the man Aaron to be the first high priest. He was the brother of Moses. And all of Aaron's sons and his descendants became the priests of Israel. Priests. When they went into the land was divided among the 12 tribes, but the Levites didn't get an inheritance in the land. Because God had chosen them to serve Him. And that's what they did. Now, I believe that God has left us here after He's made us priests for a certain purpose. And that purpose is to offer sacrifices unto God through Jesus Christ. Now, what sacrifices can we offer? You go into the Old Testament, you'll find the people offering lambs from the flock, or sheep. You'll find they offered bullocks. You'll find that they offered pigeons, and turtle doves, and other types of offerings. Does Peter expect us to go out and to buy these animals? We can't raise them. There are city ordinances against it, you know. You got to go out here in the country and buy them and bring them here and make an altar and offer these animal sacrifices to God. I don't think these are the types of sacrifices that he's talking about us today offering to God. Psalm 27 and verse 6, I'll read these to you, so you won't have to turn to them. All you have to do is just jot down the reference for later if you want to go read it, study it. The scripture says, "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy." Joy. That kind of reminds you of being happy, doesn't it? Joyful in the Lord. Sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. See, a lot of us, we go to church. We're regular here, and we come and we study our Bibles together in Bible study class, and you sit patiently and listen to me rattle on as I preach, and you join in the singing and such as this. But in your mind, do you say, "I'm worshiping God"? Every song that we sing, it makes me so mad sometimes that my voice won't let me sing much anymore, and I hate to sing out loud because it sounds annoying. But it's by singing that is a sacrifice of joy that we offer to the Lord when we come together here. We come here to worship the Lord. And we can do it by offering a sacrifice of joy and praise unto the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. By him, that's Jesus, that him is Jesus, because he told us over here in verse 5, remember that, by Jesus Christ. So here, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Through Jesus Christ, we offer a sacrifice of praise to God. Joy and praise. Continually, that is the fruit of our lips. That's what we say. That's what we sing. That's the noise that comes out of our mouth. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That, my friends, is worshiping God and offering sacrifices of praise. Romans chapter 12 verse 1 is another one. You're more familiar with this one perhaps. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, recorded in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15 through 18. He said, in the beginning of the gospel, that means when he first started on his missionary journeys, when God, through the Holy Spirit, had selected him and Barnabas to go. In the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, he says, communicated with me. Now that doesn't, communication doesn't, he's not talking about writing letters or making telephone calls in communication. He's talking about reaching down into your pocket and giving. He said, no church gave me any offerings to keep me on the mission field, to keep me traveling from place to place, preaching the gospel, concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. I have received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. That takes us into the tabernacle, when the priest would offer incense on the golden altar, and it went up into the nostrils of God as a sweet smelling savor. That's what it is. A sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. You didn't even think about it, but a few minutes ago when the ushers passed the offering plate in front of you and you gave liberally of your offerings to the Lord, you didn't think about it, but there was an odor that went up from that into the nostrils of God, a sweet smelling savor. Because in that giving, you were worshiping God. And it was a sweet odor in his nostrils. Psalm 116, verse 17. The psalm said, I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. When we call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for so and so. Thank you for this blessing. Thank you for that. That's a sacrifice that we as priests offer to God, thanksgiving. We've got a lot to thank him for. Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. When we pray, whether we pray in the privacy of our closet after we've entered in and closed the door, or whether we pray publicly, whether we stand on a street corner and pray, regardless of where or under what circumstances we pray, our prayer goes up before God as a sacrifice of thanksgiving, of praise, as sweet incense. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Psalm 4, verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Righteousness is a sacrifice that we as priests of God offer to him. And put your trust in the Lord, the verse goes on to say. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Are you brokenhearted today? Now that doesn't mean sorrow and weeping and mourning and all such as that. But it's a sorrow for sin. It's a sorrow for the offenses that we've committed against God. We need a broken spirit. That's the opposite of pride, by the way. Going on down here in verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2. He said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now what did verse 5 said? We are a holy priesthood. And now in verse 9 he tells us we are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Royalty, that's associated with kings and queens. A royal priest. He has made us unto our God, what? Kings and priests. A royal priesthood. And holy nation, a peculiar people. Yeah, if you do these things of worshiping God, you're going to be looked upon as a little bit peculiar. A little strange. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Look at that. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, showing forth his praises. He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We talk about Jesus. Jesus entered into his priesthood according to the book of Hebrews that we've been studying in Sunday school after his resurrection. He ascended from the Mount of Olives and went into heaven, and he is now enthroned as our great high priest. He entered it, he had to die to enter into his priesthood, and spiritually you and I have to die, being dead to sin, live no longer therein. We're alive unto God, and we are now his priest. Now, priest, minister. The Old Testament is all about it. The Levites ministered unto the Lord. They had a lot of them. They had a lot to do. They had a tabernacle. When Solomon came along, he built a temple. They were busy all the time. Matthew 20 and verse 28 says, even as the Son of Man came. Now that's Jesus, and that's when he came into this world and was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Son of Man came, why? Not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. But as for our ministry is not to people, but to God. I want you to read, mark this down, Exodus chapter 28. Verse 1 says, minister unto me. That's verse 1. Verse 3, minister unto me. Verse 4, minister unto me. Verse 41, minister unto me. Going into chapter 29, verse 1, minister unto me. Verse 44, minister unto me. How many times does God have to say it before we begin to believe it? We minister unto the Lord, not each other. Acts chapter 20, verse 35, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. We come to church to receive, not to give. That's backwards. We should come to give. But you know, sometimes the only time that some people give is when the offering plate's passed. That's good, but that's not the limit of it. Illustration, Luke chapter 8, verse 3, a certain woman, which had been, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, they had something in common. Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. They ministered unto him. Acts 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. That was at Antioch, where the believers were first called Christians. What were they doing? They were ministering to the Lord. And as they ministered, the Holy Spirit commissioned them to send Paul and Barnabas out as missionaries. Do you remember the time in Acts chapter 16 when Paul and Barnabas committed a heinous crime of preaching the gospel and telling people that were lost how they could be saved? The authorities arrested them and threw them in prison after they'd beaten them, chained them in stocks. They didn't have anything else to do. There was nobody to preach to, so what did they do? They worshiped. Listen, this is how they worshiped. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. That's unto the Lord, isn't it? And sang praises unto God with prayer and praise. That's at midnight. In prison, they worshiped. Now, we go to church not to be ministered to, but to minister to the Lord, to offer up sacrifices to God. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 says, now it came to pass as they went that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She's in the kitchen getting dinner ready for Jesus and his hungry apostles, all by herself. And Jesus is in here, and he's talking to his apostles, teaching them, where's Mary? Is she in the kitchen where she ought to be with her apron in there, preparing sandwiches or whatever they were going to serve, helping Martha out? Martha is in there, and she's working, doing two women's work. And Mary, her sister, is sitting in there with the Jesus and these other men, and she's sitting there at Jesus' feet. And Martha looks over her shoulder every once in a while there, and she sees Mary, all she's doing, just sitting there at Jesus' feet, looking up there at his face and loving him and adoring him. And Martha's in there, and she's cutting up lettuce for the sandwiches and things like this. And she looks and she gets madder. You know how it is. You know how it is. She's thinking in her heart, why don't she come in here and help me? And finally she just couldn't stand it anymore. And she went in there and she busted in on Jesus' Bible class. And she said to him, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she come and help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Mary, get up from here and go in there and help your sister get some lunch ready. No, he didn't say that. You'd expect it. That's what he would say, but he didn't say it. He said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful, that means anxious, and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I like that. Again in chapter 12 of John, after Lazarus had been raised from the dead, in chapter 11, the Bible says, and Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Cooking again. And the next three words, and Martha served. Doing it again, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. What's Mary doing? He's going to tell us. Then took Mary a pound. Now we think of a pound as a weight. This is fluid, actually, so it's comparable to a pint. Of ointment of spikenard, very costly. What'd she do with it? She anointed the feet of Jesus. She took this very expensive oil that would have lasted a long time if you'd use it wisely, and she poured out she emptied the bottle on Jesus' feet. And she began to wipe his feet with the hairs of her head. And the odor of the ointment filled the house. No Judas Iscariot sitting over there. He fussed about it. But Jesus told him, he said, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. And that was the only anointing that our Lord Jesus Christ had before he went to Calvary and gave his life a ransom for our souls. As they ministered to the Lord, they worshiped. Going back to Exodus 28, and the food will wait. Verse 2. And thou, God speaking to Moses, and thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. When Aaron the high priest stood before the Lord and ministered, he was clothed with glory and beauty. And as we minister to the Lord, we minister clothed in glory and beauty. And the clothing that we serve the Lord in, as we minister to Him and as we worship Him, is a garment called the robe of righteousness, which Jesus gives us so that we might be presentable to God. The robe of righteousness. Now, speaking about ministering, we told you the sacrifices of joy and praise. That brings to mind the songs that we sing. And I could not help but rejoice this morning in my soul after having studied the sermon out that the songs that we sung all gave glory to God. They were songs and hymns that were written to the Lord, not necessarily about Him. It's wonderful sometimes whenever we get in a happy mood and we begin to clap our hands and sing about the joys of being saved and having our sins forgiven and going to heaven when we die. But sometimes that isn't exactly worship. How about this one? My Jesus, I love Thee. I know Thou art mine. For Thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the crown, the thorns upon Thy brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Can you see the worship in the words of this song? That seems like something that God would be pleased with. So when we worship, fears and anxieties and insecurities leave. Peace comes into our hearts. It changes our whole heart, our attitude toward the Lord. I want to go to Revelation, close with this. Beautiful illustration of worship, I think. Because John the Apostle, having been banished to the Isle of Patmos, and Jesus comes over there and visits him one Sunday morning, and he says, John, come up hither. And he opened the door of heaven, and John found himself in glory. I like this because this is what we're going to see when we get there. Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him. Notice the position of their bodies. They fell down before him that sat on the throne. And what? Worship him. Now what did they do when they worshiped him? Worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, here's their worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. They were worshiping God with the fruit of their mouth, giving praise to him. That's the first time. Turn over to a couple of pages, Revelation 7, verses 11 and 12. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Now, how did they worship God? Saying, there's the mouth again, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. That's worship. That's worship. Revelation 11, verse 16. Again, the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, here it comes again, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. What were they doing? They were worshiping God with the voice that God gave them to worship him with. Again, Revelation 19, verse 4, and this is the last one. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. That's the way to worship God. And I hope today that we've learned something about worshiping God. If you love the Lord, say it. He likes to hear it. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can come before your throne and worship you with the words of our mouth. And I hope and pray that what we've said today will be a blessing to all these people, and that we've learned something about worship. We worship you when we pray. We worship you when we sing. We worship you when we praise the Lord and give him thanks. We have a God that's worthy of all worship. Father, if there's one here today in this congregation that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that as we sing a verse of invitation today, that they will immediately step out and down this aisle here and come to Christ, as it were, and say to him, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you have the power to forgive sins. Save me. Make me a child of God. Amen. Amen. What's our number?
514.
514. As we sing a verse of this song, will you come today? I feel I would be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity to come today.
I need thee every hour, oh friend.
God likes to hear those words. He likes to feel needed. Will you come to him today? You can't save yourself. Jesus is the only Savior. Amen. Thank you. You were a wonderful congregation this morning. I enjoyed sharing the Word of God with you, and I hope that I said something that will help you and will stay with you. Remember our service tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't forget that one. We're going to be speaking tonight on the Day of the Lord. The Day of the Lord. You'll enjoy it. And as we are dismissed from this part of the service this morning, let's pray God's blessings upon our fellowship and thank Him for the food. And I personally want to thank all of you that's had a part in making this day what it is. And I thank you for it, and I thank God then for you. Brother David, would you lead us, please, in our prayer?
Heavenly Father, it's been so good to just spend time in praise and worship to you, Heavenly Father. We just thank you and praise you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, to be raised again, Lord, that we may know that we can have salvation, Lord. We just thank you for the word that was preached, Lord. It was such a blessing to our hearts, Lord. Remember that when we minister to you, Lord, we're praising you, we're joyful, we're thankful, Lord, and we're just so lovingly thankful to you there, Father. And we just ask you to bless this time of fellowship that we have before us, Lord. We thank you for all the food that we have, all the blessings we have. Ask you to just help us to just enjoy each other's fellowship, Lord, and it's all in praise to you. And we just thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.